Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president. Dana, my co-host, is off for the day, so don't worry, I'm not alone. So without further delay, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA, everybody. Let's start the show with our first cups. And today, as I said, I'm not pouring my first cup alone. Luckily, we have a guest for today. Anna Faye Robinson, Financial Aid Director at Pierce College in the Los Angeles Community College District, current past president of CASFA, and the incoming president of CISFA. Congratulations on all of that work that you're doing and continue to do. And thank you for being my successor here in the association.
Thank you.
It's good to see you here today.
Yeah, good to see you too on a Friday morning.
I know. It's one of those things that when you know you look back, well, we're on episode number 74. So we started sometime in the summer. I did it was interesting. The first 10 or so, I wasn't set up with Dana yet to record remotely. So I just did the first 10 episodes, and people can go back to the episodes and see that they're more about the basics of CISFA and how we interact and work with CASFA and NASFA and WASFA, the national and all the other associations, the layout of the board, how we do our meetings, what we do at our conferences, what are our big topics that we're always talking about, you know, stuff like BFAP funding, all that good stuff. And then once I got Dana all set up remotely, then we started co-hosting. We had interviews. I think you were the first.
I was the first?
I think you were the first.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I snagged you before I got some of the CISFA people in the we had Mike Deer and Tamara, our past president and past president. We had Linda Williams, David Shook, who will be your successor president. No. He's the president-elect this year, or this coming cycle, I should say. But yeah, we had a number of people come through the show. So yeah,
yeah, we're up to 74. So you're going to have to think about your 100th episode.
I know. My guess is that it's going to be just before or very close to the end of my presidency, if it all works out right.
Oh, so we're going to have a plan and have a big celebration for that.
I'm all with that, incoming President Anna Faye Robinson.
You always have something in mind.
We'll figure it out. We'll, you know, get a band, something like that, you know, have them play real music on the show. All that good stuff. Well, it's good to have you on, though, because, again, you are going to be the, in a sense, you are president-elect right now. We had to do, so people who are wondering why we wouldn't have known about this a year ago, because we do a three-year cycle for president, where you are president-elect 1 year, president the next year, and then past president the next year. Well, the person who was to be my successor got lucky, found a job outside of our state. So she moved out to Tennessee land to an actual university a little sooner than
actual university.
Yeah. Versus us, just us 2 year colleges, you know. And so that left a hole in our organization. I did not have a successor for a while. So what we decided is, because of the timing of things, we put off the special election till our regular election cycle. Because we figured that if we're going to be finding someone anyways mid-cycle of a election here for a president-elect, we'd probably be needing someone who had some experience. And obviously, Anna Faye, you had experience. You were president, and you know now you're currently the past president for CASFA.
I'm the past president, yes.
So other than some cajoling and all that good stuff that you have to do to convince someone who's already booked 95% of her day with work, and association work, was to try to convince you that, oh, you can do this, you can do this. And it must have worked.
Me, well, anything for you, Dennis.
Well, I do thank you. And you know, I'm going to be here for you, in a sense.
I know you will.
In a sense, we have saved you some extra work, because as we announced at the conference, our 2022 conference, if all goes well, will be in person and at the hotel that we would have been at this year. So you're going to be down at the San Diego, the Hyatt Regency Mission Bay. So
yeah, cross our fingers that we're actually going to be seeing each other in person.
I really do hope so, you know, and I think we have a slightly later date in March, you know, so we're going to be very close to spring break time for a lot of kids.
Oh, and nice.
The good thing is the room rates are very close to what we would have had for this year. They did have to move them up a little bit, but we have those extra days that are on the weekend before you get into all directors on Monday and Tuesday, and then your conference starting on that Tuesday. So maybe we'll have some, if we're in person, again, cross fingers, we'll be able to come down for the weekend, have some fun.
Exactly, especially in San Diego.
Exactly, right on the water. Yeah. I know you can do your fun nice paddle boarding and all that other stuff that's right off the dock of the hotel. So.
No, I can't wait.
Yeah, so we got that all set up for you. So I think we're gonna have definitely a good time. I think people, again, hopefully now we get from this red to the orange to the yellow, and then I assume there is a green level out there somewhere.
I think there is a green level. I thought I heard someone says, oh, there's a green level, but then I may be wrong.
You know, if it is, that's where you're back to where you literally can hug and kiss strangers and, you know, lick doorknobs or something. I don't know what. Let dogs come up to you, you know, and say hi. Right. Slobbery dogs. Yeah, I don't know what that day will look like, but let's hope it really is out there at some point.
I know. It'll be a totally different way of interacting, especially a year of not seeing people.
Exactly. It's interesting now when, you know, we're moving into, we've got the basketball season going on. We've got NCAA basketball. And we've got Major League Baseball in spring training. Ooh. And to see the differences among the sports and the states. I mean, I was watching, I think it was Milwaukee Bucks were playing in Philadelphia. And they have like maybe 5% fans there, maybe 10%. So you do see faces in the crowd. And then they come back and you see the Clippers or the Lakers play in town. And of course, this is LA. So there's nobody in the crowd.
I know. I'm sure you can't wait to replace your cardboard face on one of the seats in Dodger Stadium to actual Dennis Schrader sitting on that seat.
Absolutely.
Huh?
I mean, it's interesting. The Dodgers have just sent out an email. They've been sending out reminders along the way as far as what they're working on. The worst case for opening day, which is April 1st, but they're going to be out of town the first week. So I don't think they played at home till like the 10th or so of April. Was, you know, because we were in the purple zone, the biggest capacity, the biggest you could have of any, or you know, any one site was 100 people. Oh, so wow. That would have been kind of worthless because those 100 people, I guess they would have to spread them out throughout the stadium. That would have been very weird. You'd be like way up there in the top deck.
Yeah, that would be
your friend
weird,
would be
yes.
Way down there in the bottom deck. But now we're at 10%. No, we're at 20% capacity allowed. So I just got my email yesterday about how they're going to try to figure this out, and they've kind of put a demarcation at June, at the start of June. So the first 2 months, what you're going to have to do, even though I've got season tickets, is I will have to buy a 14-game group of either group A or B. So there must be about 28 home games in that period of time. I have to buy 2 to 6 seats, and then I'll be seated in a pod, whatever that means. So it might not be my exact seats, in other words, you know, it might be my row with my seats, but then it will be at 20% capacity. The next people might not be to the next section over or whatever.
Oh, I see.
In a group, the 2 of 6. And then once June 2nd hits, whatever games I had as part of my schedule, and I only had a quarter season, will, they hope, still be intact as is. And I'll have those regular seats. So, you know.
I hope that works out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because my cutout, you know, I don't know if he could make it through another season. I might have to get a new one if
it's
I
weathered
have to do
now.
That. He is a little weathered. I have to say, the good thing about living in LA, last season, I can't remember if there was almost any rain at all.
I don't.
During that time.
I don't think we had rain at all last year.
So he's not weather beaten that way. He's just a little dirty, you know, from sitting
with
in the
all
sand.
The wind and the. Yeah,
but he wasn't in the outfield either. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's a little blown around, but he's not busted. Okay. And he's just a little dirty, whereas I know some of the people I knew who had him like out in the outfield, they're a little sunburned. Those guys are a little faded now.
Oh, no.
My guy was kind of tucked up under the loge overhang, so I'm okay.
So you're a little bit protected.
Exactly.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm really hoping to get to the games because it's going to be interesting, like, with this NCAA men's basketball tournament, at least. They're doing it all, like, in a bubble. They're doing it all in Indianapolis instead of having, like, the regional feed down to the Final Four that would have been there. So it's interesting to see how those games get starting off. They're literally playing all the games, like, in, like, one place.
Right.
Without fans. So good and bad news. Let's hope we're rolling along soon to having some real
people. I hope so, too. I just can't wait to at least sit in a restaurant or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's at 25%, it's a little hard to get a table, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
No, I mean, no, it's going to be hard. I mean, I've recently just went to a restaurant, but okay. It was outdoors. Luckily, yeah. It was a nice day, but it's just difficult because you have to make reservations and mm-hmm. things like that. You can't just show up and expect to see.
Exactly. You know, this being California, you know, when they talk about when it was just outdoor, yes, we can kind of get away with that. You put up some heaters mm-hmm. and those who are thin-blooded Californians can still sit outside, but I don't think people in Montana and Chicago and probably New York City were able to do that at all. That probably would have been a little beyond just tough. Let's put it that way. But I know this, you know, just thinking about capacity, this kind of leads into our meeting that we had yesterday mm-hmm. with the California Student Aid Commission people, the people who handle Cal Grant out there. You know, CASFA and CSFA to a lesser extent coordinates with them for their annual statewide financial aid workshops, what we used to call the high school counselor workshops. Now they had to make it a big word that's harder to say.
I'll just say cash for college, not necessarily cash for college, but yeah, I'll just call it high school counselors workshop.
Still, that's what it is, because I mean that's the main goal. The idea is to do these workshops for the high school counselors so that they can pick up their financial aid tidbits to bring back to their students. But you know, thinking of capacity, you know, I know they're really hoping that at some point they will be able to have in-person workshops again. I hope that we get to that in some way because
I know
we know with our high school counselors, you know, our local foster youth, juvenile detention center staff who deal with students and financial aid, they really do like to come out.
And they do. I mean, similar to us financial aid folks, you know, where people kind of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to see each other. So it's similar to the high school counselors. They love to see their colleagues and hug each other and, you know.
Well, and it's like the one piece that I know that me and you both presented. I think we both moderated on a number of the workshops over this last cycle from fall.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, regardless of the product you're using, and we use mostly Zoom for these, the Q&A kind of thing, that you get the interactive talk when you're with people in person, was gone.
Yeah, that's gone. It's totally different when you interact with, you know, using the chat feature mm-hmm. when you answer the questions. It's actually a little bit challenging because I don't know, it's harder to sometimes explain it.
Exactly.
You know, when you're typing your responses, and it's not the same. It's not the same interaction, like you said.
And it's really about you're hoping that you're intuiting correctly what they're asking, because you have to go by what they've typed in, and if they're just and if they're like us, obviously high school counselors are like us. You're typing in it, and you think you know what you mean, but who knows what the other person on the other side, if they're really picking up on the question, yes, and so exactly. then responding back, and then just like with students. No, what I really meant was this, you know, which is slightly different in the way worded. But again, financial aid professional, the financial aid professional, we might be a little closer on target. But again, high school counselors, they have so many other responsibilities. Financial aid isn't even their world, except for now, as our students are all getting accepted.
Right, exactly. And like I said, you know, we hope that we can have some in-person trainings, but we were surprised that close to 50%, or was it over 50% of attendees actually liked the online platform. So because of the flexibility, I think that's the only probably reason why, majority of the reason why is the flexibility. So they don't have to, you know, drive and fight that traffic and find parking and things like that. So they could be in their offices and still listen to a webinar.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you have a 3-hour webinar that, you know, 2 minutes beforehand, you can be doing so much else.
Right.
And then 2 minutes later, you can be doing so much else versus, you know, I know when you've hosted and I've hosted, you know, they're sometimes coming from an hour away or more. You know, their school is nearby, but they live out of the area. And right. So, yeah, that's now travel time and prep time. And usually, unless you have great coffee, they get their coffee ahead of time somewhere else.
That's that kind right. of prep but, work. Well, we'll probably, like, you know, when we talked yesterday with the folks from CSAC, well, it's probably going to be more of a hybrid.
Yes.
We'll offer in-person for maybe in a regional kind of setting, right? Mm-hmm. And offer online for those who are in the remote areas. So
I know. I think that's where they said that. You know,
give them flexibility.
That's where they picked up people this year. You know, those counties that are kind of far flung to the north ends of our state here, you know, more people could go than before. You know, sometimes it's a hard time scheduling something for those sites to get enough high schools to come in. But, you know, when you're remote, different world.
Right. And then also the speakers, right? The availability of speakers. Yes. So, you know, a speaker may not be able to drive, you know, that far, but in, you know, when online environment, you know, you're down south here and you could present to.
Exactly. I'm sure we both had on our, when we did those workshops last fall, people from areas that we would never have ever seen before.
Never have touched. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what this time of the show is? This is time for a little musical interlude if we move into our next segment here. And just like that, we all got a sip of our drinks here, and we're going to welcome you back for the second cup of the What's Brewing Seas for Show. So it's time to fill up, everybody. Whatever you're drinking this morning, or unless, you know, maybe we have some people that listen to our show late at night and they've turned this into a late night extravaganza of drinking, whatever they're drinking. That is, you know, I'm not putting words in anyone's head, I hope, but you know, it is financial aid type people out there and my non-financial aid friends out there that listen to the show, Mikey K, I know you're there. You know, I'm sure they may be having a nip or two later in the day. So let's talk about CISFA. How's that, huh? Now that you're coming in as president, I would like to know, because, you know, I know I got your CASFA Chronicles, which are your the newsletters that come out from CASFA when you're president and your past president, first one or so. Obviously, there was a lot that you got done over the last year, including, of course, having probably one of the first that you were one of the first people I know that had to put together on a little bit of a short notice. An actual virtual conference for the association. And, you know, now you're coming in this hybrid world that we don't know what's going to happen when it hits your conference in next March. But
yeah, you know, it's going to be a little bit, well, it's not as stressful, but still, you know, you always anticipate that we may go back online, but we hope that we can have our conference in person next year. But it was a quick pivot, right? Pivoting to an online conference last year because we were, you know, gearing for an in-person.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden we had to quickly think and transition to an online environment. And so that's why we had to, you know, evaluate platforms and I didn't want to compromise as far as the quality. So yes, we had to utilize ON24, but because I didn't want to, like I said, compromise the quality and the delivery, because this is the first time, right? This is the first time that I think any of our financial associations have done some sort of online virtual conference. So I wanted to make sure that it's a good conference.
And it worked really well, I got to say, as a presenter at least, because I didn't have a lot of time to attend sessions due to my own CISFA duties. But as a presenter, it worked really, really well. And I had like the glimpse of what it was going to look like, at least from a user perspective, because, you know, over the summer, NASFA had used ON24 for their special webinar series of things that were more COVID-type related things and all. So the user platform, yes, you picked well. You picked a very good one. And I think, you know, from everything I saw from all the feedback and commentary I received just about my own session, I certainly had more people on my session, and mine is just one about, you know, how to be a presenter and make better presentations. You know, at any conference, I've given that one before, and I've done it a few times. You know, you get maybe 30 to 40 people. I think I had 140 people in mine.
Really?
I mean, it was amazing.
That is cool.
So,
well, you know, I really appreciated Tom Lay, who was a conference chair and the programs committee. I mean, the entire CASFA board, you know, everybody really pitched in and they did a great job. Without them, I don't think we would have done a, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the back end producing duties with Cheryl also.
Oh yeah, Cheryl Hunt did the moderating for the.
Yeah, those guys being in the background in my ear as I'm getting mine going, because I did have to like really quickly reboot in 5 seconds, you know, to get the audio to sync up with the video. But you know, so much of that, you kind of need that. And the good thing is, you know, when we did our virtual CES for this year, we have the support of the Foundation for the California Community Colleges staff. They're up there up in Sacramento. They're up usually when they're in the office. They're right next door to the people that work with us from the chancellor's office on other stuff. But their staff helped on our technical end so that we could run. You know, there's one person who hit the button to start the recordings that were the pre-recorded sessions and make sure that the presenters that wanted to sit on the chat could do that. But then they also worked with the live ones throughout the whole thing. So we had a technical team that really, Cameron, Carolyn, their behind-the-scenes people, Cheyenne and Jen, just were fantastic in keeping ups going too. So, you know, you'll be able to absorb them. I think many of them, knowing that it's San Diego next year, would love to come down and help with some of those logistics and all.
Yeah, the CESFA conference earlier this month, that was really good too. It was really put together well. So yeah,
different platform, you know, but it, you know, I really have to hand it to, again, the FCCC people, the foundation people, for going out there and looking at the different platforms and what was available and cost-wise, because they do so many other conferences with other student services areas in particular. I think they've just done a veterans one and maybe something with international student advisors.
Wow.
But they had a lot of good information on this. And again, from an association point of view, because it was less expensive than some of the super high-end, you know, platforms that not even CASFA and NASFA would use because of cost, still offer a good set of materials for people to work from. Easy to find your schedule, easy to, you know, get logged into a session. And then we had a separate product just for socializing at the president's reception. So I'm very happy that it turned out as well as it did. I want to thank everyone who did it. You know, I'm hoping that we really are in person so that your conference, I finally get down to San Diego to the hotel that I checked out a couple of years ago, you know, when this whole process started.
Oh, I know. Well, we just, you know, cross your fingers, everybody.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
So stay safe out there so that we can.
Exactly. Everyone, wear one, two. If it takes three masks to get through it, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
One on top of your head. I don't care. Just do what you have to do. You know. So
have a bubble on. You know, around your head. I don't know.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more crazy things like that. People in bubbles and stuff like that. I would have figured that would have launched off. You know, as a fad somewhere, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it's not in the parts of town we live in.
Yeah, probably somewhere. I have no idea.
But I would think, like, you know, up in the Bay Area, there's got to be some part of San Francisco that, you know, does things a little differently, that you'd see people walking around in bubbles. Or Venice Beach, you know, down here, down in Venice. That would seem like a Venice-y kind of thing. That
you know, probably, yeah. They are inside their bubble.
Exactly.
Exercising and
exactly, that's how they do their yoga classes, you know. Everyone stretch out in your bubble till you're kind of laying, you know, horizontally or whatever, and see how that works. A different feel like you're floating on air, because you would be at that point. Assuming you have a, you have to make sure you buy a high quality bubble, everybody.
Yeah, you don't want to suffocate inside that
thing. That's right. Don't buy the cheap one. Don't buy the one that's like the single ply plastic, everybody. Well, you know what time it is? It's actually time for another little musical break so that we can get you in our last segment here, everybody. And we thought the show would run really long and not have, have too many topics. But, hey, we're already down here to our last
segment. I know what happened. What happened?
I don't know.
That went by quick.
The clock tells me so. What can I say, you know? You know, it's just good to have you on the show, because I want to make sure people know we've got a succession plan in place. CISFA is, you've got a well-stocked board coming in.
Yeah, I know. We have a great board. And so thank you, Dennis, for, recruiting.
I just had to recruit one person. That primarily was you. To get into
that was your job.
So Michael Dear is the past president, and soon enough, this will be my duty after July 1st. Okay. We'll be finding the next round of people. But I got to say, for those who ran and even for those who did not win their seats, don't worry. There will be opportunity in the coming year.
There will be opportunities for sure. But yeah, Dennis, it took weeks, huh, for me to.
Yes, it took a bit of time and to convince you.
Well, it was because I'm still, serving past president of CASFA and have other roles at CASFA, like training and things like that, and high school relations committee. Yes. So, just thinking about what we're going to do for the next year in CISFA is, I think we will continue providing more training, because everyone knows that, things are happening. Things are changing. FAFSA is changing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this whole FAFSA simplification, which we haven't done a whole show on yet, but I think I'm going to try to get Lisa Mandy, who's our current CISFA vice president for federal issues and presented on FAFSA simplification at the conference, to come in on the show with me and Dana and maybe some others and talk through, because it's a little confusing. We're all talking about this stuff that passed in a bill, kind of like one of those things where they kind of paperclipped it on and said, okay, now's the time to pass this while we're passing some omnibus bill.
Yeah, there'll be, terminology that we used to know what over 20 years ago.
New words. New words brought back. Old words brought back
student
into the
new. Student aid index?
Yes.
The student aid index? I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so anyway. It'll get a little confusing, because at some point when we start talking to parents at the high school, remember, the whole thing like with divorce and separated parents, for those people who nerd out on this stuff, normally used to be who they lived with the most would be the parent they picked in a divorce or separation to provide information from that parent. Now it's switching purely to just finance, right?
I think it's literally
provides more support now. So if you live with one parent who doesn't most of the time and the other parent is the one providing most of the support, even though they may be remote, they're the parent now. You got to give the info for. So
that's why I think we're gonna, I think the focus, my focus anyway, just like what I did, during my CASFA presidency, is training, because I think we need to really educate and connect with our members, and just, we need to make sure that they're equipped with the appropriate and right tools knowledge.
Well, me and Mike Dear, who will be past president at that point when you are in on July 1st, and the rest of us are all right behind you, ready to do what we can. Again, we have great support for platforms and everything else, because right now CISFA is ramping up for the Financial Aid 101 training at the end of the month.
Yeah, I heard about
that, which we normally would have done during the day before the conference, but we didn't want to try to overbook ourselves. So we decided we'd move that and the financial literacy component, separate training offered by the Chancellor's office, a few weeks out. So we're doing that in, I guess, a week and a half from here. We're putting that together right now. Mike Dear is leading the charge as the training committee chairperson. We've got that all running. Luckily, the people who've been involved in past years are involved this year. So I didn't really have to do too much. I told him, I asked Mike if he would please, you know, help lead the charge on that. Because after conference, I needed a few days to myself away from people.
Yes, you have to. You have to recharge.
Yes. I mean, I still got things to do. I still got to send some thank you notes out. I still got a box of these books from our keynote speaker to get out the door.
I still have to do mine because, like I said, you know, it was from one thing to another. So
exactly. You just roll along. You roll along. But, you know, before I let you go from the show, seeing that we're coming in the last minute, you know, normally me and Dana, we do the I dare you to options here. You know, something you're watching, something you're listening to, something you're reading. Do you have anything going on, Anna Faye, outside of your financial aid world, which is 95% of your day?
Outside of financial aid, I actually teach.
Yes. So you would you dare people to take your class or just to go and take a class?
I don't know, you know. I'm not teach. Sure.
Or go out and teach maybe. I mean, that might, I assume your skills at presenting and organizing and researching have only gotten better. Being
I
a teacher,
it, it did,
right?
It did help. I mean, you know, presenting and being involved with the training committee for CASFA, you know, it actually improves my teaching style. Mm-hmm. So that's really helpful for me. But yes, teaching, it's because I love to do it. And luckily, this college gave me the opportunity. And so I'm teaching business courses.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, just because I know of the timing of this. Were you teaching any in class before we hit the pandemic, like actually at a class, or
yes,
have you always? Okay, so you've done the in class and the hybrid world, and I should say now the online world.
So that was last spring. So okay. I actually started teaching last spring of 2020. Okay. And so, yes, I was going to a high school because I was also teaching dual enrollment, a business course at a high school. So I was going to a high school and I was going to the college for the business comp class. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, around this time, we had to switch. And luckily, I'm certified in Canvas. Mm-hmm. So I had to put everything in Canvas.
Yes, one of our learning management systems. Yeah. The quick coursework in your head to get going on that.
Yeah. And this time though, this spring, and even now last fall, it was in I had to teach via Zoom. So I think that's called asynchronous.
It's where they don't have to show up at a given time per se. I think it's part of the synchronous. I think is where it's like your class is 8 o'clock every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you have to be there.
So that was for fall, but for this spring, it's all 100% online.
Okay.
So there's no meetup or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
So I actually like it.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be, I know we haven't heard yet in our district, but some districts are starting to announce what they're doing next fall. Mm-hmm. Once we have an idea, we'll have an idea how that's going to continue, whether it's hybrid, online, a few classes on campus, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're still adjusting, I think, all of us. So, yeah, we could say that, we're going to be in person, but you never know, right? What's going to happen 4 months from now.
We could all be zombies, too, or the Martians could land. Who knows? But in between that, I'll throw out my, while we're here and closing out.
What are you reading?
So the book I just started reading, and I guess it's an author I've read a couple other books about digital minimalism and deep work. Cal Newport has put out a book called A World Without Email. And all I want to know is, if this is possible, please make it true. And so I want to see.
I would like that because, man, every morning when I open my inbox.
Yes.
It never ends. So I would bring it down to less than 50 by the end of the day. By the morning, it's
right
back. Over 100. It's crazy.
And I've read plenty of books and articles by the smartest of the tech people about better ways to manage your inbox. You know, everything, especially filters. I can't tell you how many like pre-sorting filters I use. So it's like,
I do that too. Yeah.
Like everything from like, say, University Business Magazine. And I quote them only because we do use a lot of their articles in our news segments on this podcast. Everything that comes from their address goes into a folder that's called reading.
And so throughout the week,
I see the number go up into reading. And usually it's like over the weekend when I start to look through those, so that I can build the news segments for the Tuesday podcast taping. But, you know, a lot of that, you know, I've got some of our...
like NASFA News.
NASFA
Cancer's
News.
Cancer's Office. Daily.
Daily News from NASFA in particular. The CASFA Chronicle goes right into...
Right.
Anything
all,
I can
all
do
the
that. Stuff,
all the things that need to that you need to read and actually have the time to
yes.
read. I put those in, like you said, a separate folder yeah. called To Read or Review. And
now, I do yeah. have one special folder. I don't know if many people use this, but... some of our counterparts in our line of work, I'm not going to say they don't send me anything useful, but it's so rare. Or that they're into the thank you stage, you know, thanking you on a listserv of 1,000 people. Some people go into a folder called confinement, and so
confinement.
I yes. So there's some of our colleagues out there. I'm not going to give names, whether they're in district, out of district, across the state or the nation, but literally, if it comes from this person. Bob Jones or whatever, it goes right into a confinement folder. And I only look at that folder about once a week because usually, again, they're never, it's a type of thing that person's never getting back to me on something. They're usually just saying thank you, thank you, thank you to things that they could just have said it to the one person who did something in that group. So to simplify my life, and again, it's nothing against the person. It's to simplify my life. I know that if they really needed something from me, they would find another way to get a hold of me. I only look at that folder the same thing like once a week, but it's the only way to keep them out of my hair.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Email is, I think it consumes our day.
Yeah. And again, it's not my to-do list, and I'm trying to work from a different to-do list. And that's why I'm really hoping this book will tell me the truth. As it says, A World Without Email by Cal Newport. Reimagining work in an age of communication overload. And whether he started this book prior to COVID or during it, I mean, it's so applicable right now.
It
for
is.
Sure.
It is.
We got to find a way to control this because I can't work where it's only my email all day. That's just not good.
Exactly.
You know, nothing else gets done. What are we going to do? But anyways, Anna Faye, you know, I feel like I may have, kept you as long as I can today, so we're going to move our way towards the outro of the show. I want to thank Anna Faye for joining us today here on What's Brewing CISVA, and of course thank you our audience for tuning in. Check out the CISVA website at CISVA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want to discuss, email us at WBCISVA@gmail.com. For this and all What's Brewing CISVA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISVA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisva.podbean.com and on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and of course the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa. What's Brewing CISVA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of myself and Miss Dana Yarbrough, our normal co-host. We are on episode number 74, recorded the morning of Friday, March 19th, 2021. And I want to wish everyone to have a great day.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you, Anna Faye.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.